this morning, and I'm glad that Paul is here tonight. Paul would like to continue giving Bibles to some of the people in jail, but he needs softback, is that right? Softback, paper, or anything other than hardback Bibles. So if you have any of those that you're not using, Paul will put them to use. I had some, I think Velmer had some, and we put them on that table right out there. So Paul will just get those as he can. Incidentally, Mike, my favorite Eagles song is Desperado. So think of me when they're playing that song. The first passage that I'm going to read tonight is not going to be our text, but it is going to set the tone for the lesson. The text is going to be where Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We're going to get to that in just a little bit. But I want to read, first of all, from Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 37. Very, very familiar passage. Here the Apostle Paul is writing just as encouraging as he possibly can to the brethren in Rome. And of course, the brethren in Rome probably were suffering more persecution than the brethren probably anywhere else in the world. So he's writing to them to build them up, to encourage them, to help them out. And he says, beginning with verse 37, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing," King James says creature, "shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And brethren, I don't know about you, but that's pretty encouraging for us today. Nothing, Paul says, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now our text is going to be John 8:32. You will know the truth. We can know the truth about eternity is will make us free from the penalty of sins. We'll be to that in just a moment. Now, I think I speak for everyone here today, maybe not some of our more young audience members, but I don't like to get caught up in the modern trends of society. I just don't like that. First of all, they're temporary. Usually they're expensive, and I just don't want to get caught up in that. However, there are some other items that would fall into this area called trends that I think we need to be aware of. And the one we'll be talking about tonight, not only has it affected our world, it has affected our society, and unfortunately, it is even affecting many in the body of Jesus Christ, and that is what I call victim mentality. Victim mentality. It's just not my fault. I hope you don't watch any of the daytime television shows, but sometimes they'll have a show and it's a lie detector show, and they will make a man or a woman take a lie detector test. More often than not, they're not married. They just live together, and they always try to determine if they've been faithful to their girlfriend, boyfriend, their acquaintance, their 12-year fiancé or whatever, sometimes even a spouse. And when the man usually is found guilty, the first thing he says is, he turns to his wife and says, "It's your fault." It's not his fault that he ran around on her. It's her fault. She didn't treat him with the proper respect, or she didn't give him enough attention or something, but all of a sudden, he is the victim. Let me read from Isaiah chapter 5. This is the passage where Isaiah says, "There are people in the world that see things and do things that are evil, but they call them good. They're evil things, but they call them good." Let me continue reading. Isaiah 5, beginning with verse 20. "Also, woe unto them who put darkness ahead of light, and light for darkness, who put bitter ahead of sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe to those," now listen, "woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Brethren, that passage was written by God through Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was ever born. But it could be written today. Because people are still seeing things and doing things that are evil, and they say, but it's all right. They're still calling darkness light. They're still calling bitter sweet. They're still wise in their own eyes, and they are still prudent in their own hearts. Nahum 3, verse 1. The victim never leaves. So evidently, this trend, if you want to call it that, this idea that I'm always the victim, it's always someone else's fault, is not the case. Is not new, I'm sorry. Now, let me tell you a couple of true stories. The first one is about two young men. Their name was Melendez. You probably remember them. They murdered their parents. The Melendez brothers murdered their parents. And in their defense, they say that they were victims of their environment. Rather than they murdered their parents, but they were the victim. I found another story about a 35-year-old man who had never worked a day in his life. He lived with his widowed father. His father was 68 years old. Finally, his father decided, I'm just going to force my not even young son, my 35-year-old son, to get a job. So he cut him off from his $1,000 a week allowance and told him, you get a job. He murdered his father and said that he was the victim. A group of teenagers robbed a man and his wife. They beat the man and his wife. The man later died of his wounds. And they claimed, this was the first time I'd ever heard this, they claimed urban stress syndrome. In other words, since they were from the inner city, urban society, that it just wasn't their fault. Nothing seems to be anyone's fault anymore. And I ask, is that what it's going to be for the rest of our society's life? And I suppose the answer is yes. Now, I alluded to this question this morning. I know you could have answered it this morning. I know you can answer it now. Brethren, as Christians, are we victims or are we victors? Paul said we're victors. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. God has called us to rise above the trends of society and set the example for society. Let's look at a few more things the Bible says. Psalm 146, verses 7 and 8. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. That other translation says to the oppressed. Brethren, how can we be victims if the Lord gives us freedom? The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord rises above those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. How can we, the righteous, claim to be victims? The Lord loves the righteous. Galatians 4, 3 and following. Even so we, when we were in bondage under the elements of the world, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. And today we're under the law of Jesus Christ. How can we be the victims if he has redeemed us? I was kind of hoping we would sing, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loves me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And now our text. Brethren, Jesus says we can know the truth. It was very popular a number of years ago for some of the more scholarly among the churches of Christ to say, do we really have the ability to know anything? Well, I'm going to side with Jesus. Jesus said we can. We can know the truth. The truth that will help us escape from the penalty of our guilt. We alluded to Jesus's real Lord's Prayer this morning in John chapter 17. God's word is truth, but needing God's truth is as old as society. What did Adam and Eve need? They needed to obey God's truth. What did the people of Sodom and Gomorrah need? They needed to obey God's truth. What did the people of Noah's generation need? They needed to obey God's truth. What does our society need? It needs to obey God's truth. Now I want to read from Psalm chapter 43. I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit because I think it will help us with our application. David is the penman here. He writes, "Stand beside us, O God. Help us defend your word in an ungodly world. Deliver us from injustice and deceitfulness. You alone are our strength. Do not forsake us. Do not leave us in darkness. Send us your love and truth. Let them, your love and truth, guide us through our lives." Now again, in our text, Jesus says we need the truth and we can know the truth. The only thing that will bring about the kind of victory that we're looking for is God's truth. We need to move past the baggages of the past and move on toward our future. Brethren, that's where the reward is. And Paul says we need to press on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now here's the little caveat. We still have to do our part. We have a responsibility. You remember Paul told the Romans in Romans 14, we will all stand before God in judgment. All of us will give an account of ourselves. So let me ask it bluntly, or let me say it bluntly. No matter what has caused us, if we have fallen into this victim mentality, as Christians, as more than conquerors, we need to get out of that. It takes responsibility. Now, I'm not saying we do this often. We really don't. But society blames everyone else. They feel sorry for themselves. They will not take responsibility. As Christians, we must do that. Just a few weeks ago, we had a lesson on the prodigal son. It was on a Sunday night, so I would imagine most of you were here. We're very familiar with the story, so let's just quickly jump ahead. The youngest son demanded his part of the inheritance. He went to a far country, wasted all of that money on riotous living. A famine came, and he found himself feeding swine. A Jewish boy, no doubt, feeding swine. We get down into that parable, verse 17. But when he came to himself, in other words, when he realized the situation, he then was ready to take the responsibility. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to my father. And I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against you. I've sinned against you in heaven and in earth. Please take me back. Take me back and make me just a servant. We know that story. But had he not come to himself, he probably would have died in that situation. He needed to take the responsibility. Regardless of how he got there, he needed to take the responsibility. Regardless of how we get to the position in life where we are, we need to take responsibility. We need to make sure we do not fall into that trend that is called victim mentality. How? How do we do that? How do we make sure that we don't become a victim? Well, we've got to be kingdom focused. We've got to be kingdom focused. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will take care of themselves. Matthew 6, verse 33. Our focus in life must be on the kingdom of God and our part in that kingdom. If I'm going to break free from the trends of society, I've got to shift my focus on something that is most important, and that is getting to heaven. Brethren, we all have responsibility to help others get to heaven, but our first responsibility is to get there ourselves. So in order to forget about the problems of society. In order to forget about the problems in our life, we've got to focus on God's kingdom. We've got to occupy our minds on something that is important, and that is heaven. And may we all be encouraged by these words. Perhaps tonight there's one or more who needs to respond to our Lord's invitation. If for any reason, if it is you, we invite you to come as we stand together and as we sing.